O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her turn. We might wonder what those words would mean in Jerusalem today in these very troubled times. But I don't want to unpack that this morning. I'd rather like to hear this text as one which responds to what we heard last week. Last week, this same prophet cried out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble at your presence as the fire kindles the brushwood and causes the water to burn." This morning, the word of comfort. Comfort, comfort, O my people, says your God. And what is that word of comfort? All flesh is grass, and the grass withers and the flower fades. Very strange word of comfort, is it not? It's difficult for us in the midst of everything that we are investing our time and energy into to imagine that we are but grass and flowers. Our lives are full with our efforts and our energy, with the things that we do and the things that are being done to us. And so this extraordinary relativization of creature and creator, all flesh is grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. The word, the work of God, however, lasts forever. I mentioned earlier how this text differs quite considerably from the text in the previous chapter, chapter 39. Chapter 39 ends sometime late in the 8th century, and there's nearly a 200-year break between the last word of chapter 39 and the first word, chapter 40. And what has happened in that 200 years is two great catastrophes. First, the one which the original Isaiah was speaking about, which is the coming of the Assyrian army, the local geographical bully, if you like, overrunning, decimating, and dispersing the northern kingdoms of Israel. Then, toward the beginning, or the late sort of 7th century to the beginning of the 6th century BC, the next local bully is the Babylonians, who come and take what remains of original Israel, the original 12 tribes, basically Judah, and takes those people, or at least the elite, into Babylon for a period of exile, somewhere in the order of 50 years or two or three generations. Then the next local geographical bully arises. This time it's the Persians. Constant shifting going on all around the people of Israel, of course. And the Persians have a different policy and agree to allow the Israelites, or now they're beginning to become what we would call Jews, the Jews to go home. There's been extraordinary shifts going on here. And over that period of time, there's probably, I suppose you could say, been a great humbling of the people of Israel from the glory days of David, 400 or so years prior, to this experience now of having been decimated and dispersed, captive in a foreign land, and now finally coming back. There's a sense in which Israel knows now that it is grass and flowers. But so also being addressed here are those local bullies. The Assyrians have been forgotten and the Babylonians have been overrun, and now the Persians themselves are not perhaps directly addressed by this text, but nonetheless the same thing is being said to them. As with the Assyrians and with the Babylonians, and so also with you, because later are going to come the Greeks and the Romans. Grass, flowers, and you too will wither. We might see in this perhaps something pessimistic on the part of the prophet, but that isn't quite what he's doing. He's trying to draw a contrast between the creator and the creation, trying to say that your very best and your very worst are just passing before me, passage of history, and the stable thing that lasts forever is the word and the work of God himself. The word here, in a sense, is that history is not transparent. We can't read our righteousness off the things that we have done or the things that have been done to us. Our great works and our worst works are not the heart of the matter. And there's a resonance here with what we heard last week from Isaiah as well, where I think some of you commented upon this. There is that stunning, almost, the word escapes me actually, but confronting notion, I suppose, that our very good works are but filthy rags, which is not to say that good works don't matter. It is to say that these good works are not our measure. There is not a pessimism here. There is a fundamental realism. And it helps once more as we invoke the cross, as we did last week, as we thought about this tearing open of the heaven and the coming down of God, remembering what God has done and seeing that gift of Christ on the cross as that tearing open and that coming down. Because we need to keep in mind that the cross, the crucifixion, is actually an act of piety on Jesus' behalf, I suppose you would say, but certainly also on behalf of those who called for his crucifixion. This was thought to be an act of righteousness to deal with the blasphemer. And about such self-satisfied, self-assured acts of righteousness, God says, grass and flowers which wither. History is not transparent. We see, we experience only, Paul says, through that glass darkly. But God nonetheless says, whatever is happening, whatever you are doing, whatever is being done to you, God is mindful of this. We are, God says to us, but a meadow of grass and flowers. But God also says to us, I love the spring. I look forward to you blooming again. And I come with words of promise and comfort that you might lift up your heads and see what you are in me.